This is the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ.
I got to tell you, in a world of every single day, somebody comes in and says, you've got to see this. And they show you a video, and right. You watch it, you either laugh or don't, and you forward it to your friends. In that world, it's pretty amazing to be maybe the funniest thing we've ever seen.
A real standout.
And I'm talking about retarded policemen. And we have Josh, the Ponce Man Perry here. Yeah. Good morning, Josh.
Come on.
Hello.
We have Scott Perry, who's his brother.
Mm-hmm. The bro, yes.
Correct. And then we have the creator, Greg Benson. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. So tell us how this all came about.
I don't know. I haven't seen the show, but I hear it's pretty good. You know, the genesis of this show was actually my wife, Kim Evie's idea. She comes with a lot of amazing ideas. And one time she just said, well, what if we make a show about a retarded policeman? And it was just that simple. And I thought, gosh, I wonder if Josh would do that.
Now, how do you know Josh?
Well, Scott and I became friends, strangely enough, through MySpace. Scott's a really talented filmmaker, and he directed the latest episode, which is the mime episode.
Dude, who's using MySpace to meet dudes? I mean, what's up with that? You may have missed the point of the whole social networking thing if you're meeting guys on MySpace.
Well, that's what happens when you're married. You know, you gotta figure something out.
Wow, you gotta go with dudes?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
see, my wife would be more disappointed if she found out I was with another guy. I don't know about you, but
well, the picture I have reveals my breasts a lot, though.
Okay,
no, that's true.
C-cup,
okay,
so. Yeah.
All right, good.
He's got a very sexy picture on there.
All right, so you already knew him, and then what?
Well, the first time I saw Josh was in one of Scott's shorts, an amazing little short called Flea of Fury. That's the first thing I saw Josh in, and he's just hilarious. And I'm like, well, here's this guy.
He was acting in it.
Yeah, he's acting in it. And here's this actor with Down syndrome who's just really funny, and he's fun to watch. And I just thought, he's just so great. And I watched him in a lot of other Scott's shorts.
Trouble with Syndromes.
The Trouble with Syndromes is pretty damn hilarious.
I like
hilarious.
The title.
Yeah, you got to see that one.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people who have this condition or whatever, the family seems like they're super secretive about it and almost embarrassed. And you guys are making shows and Josh is making fun of himself and out there playing, having a good time. Your parents are psychotically funny.
The grandma. Yeah, she's
is she the one in the
lady.
Walker?
Yep, that's her.
That's your grandma?
Meemaw.
Oh, my God. How do you say those things to her, Josh?
I just say some good lines.
That's your grandma, though.
And my grandma, who played
the woman. Yeah.
The woman, yeah.
You like flirting with her? Did you like flirting with her when you asked her to give you a massage?
Yeah.
He pulls over a woman in a walker, for those of you that haven't seen it yet. All the links are up at KROQ.com, the Kevin and Bean page. Go to Internet Roundup.
Okay.
Thanks for doing that, by the way. That's really cool.
It's one of the funniest things we've had.
Yeah, people are loving it, as they discovered on the website, too. And, of course, they're all up at YouTube, too. Josh, do you find the show funny, too? Do you know why everybody laughs so much at the stuff that you do and say?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's funny.
How could you not, right? What is your favorite episode? Which one did you enjoy making the most?
I did enjoy doing Taser. It's really funny.
Taser is way funny. Yeah. Pulls the guy over, says, do you mind if I taser you? The guy goes, yes, I mind. Don't do that.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite part?
And my favorite part where I electrocute the guy.
Yes.
And he says, I say, knock, knock. And he says, who's there? And I say,
he tells him a knock-knock joke. Yeah. The guy says, who's there? And then he just tases him.
That's the punchline.
It's one of the funniest things ever.
That's Mark McCracken getting tased there. And very, very funny actor. And Laura House playing his wife.
You know,
very, very
all
people.
Of the people that get pulled over are good actors and actresses, too. I was noticing that. I was thinking, that's really...
Well, thanks. You know, we're very lucky that we know a lot of really good actors. They're all friends. And, you know, I have a background in acting, and so I just know a lot of actors. So does Scott, so does Ponce, and so we get my friends on, their friends, and of course relatives.
Here's the theme, and this is how you know you're about to enjoy something.
He is a cop, and he's learning impaired. He's the retarded policeman.
That's me.
Sure.
Right.
I like performance.
And now I can say that my music has been played on KROQ, correct. Which is pretty amazing.
Here's another one where the Ponce man stops somebody and explains exactly what needs to happen.
Hey! Want to sell some coke?
What?
Come on, don't be a pussy. Cooking is cool.
tell me about the tell me about the numbers of people who are enjoying this show online right now.
Oh, geez. Well,
it's like over like 12 million who've seen every episode,
I think. Well, I know, well, the pilot's been seen a couple million times, and then a lot of the other episodes have been seen over a million times. All of them will eventually, you know, hop over a million, but right now we just put up episode 13.
Is that the mime one?
Yeah, that's with Doug Jones, who's in Hellboy, too. He's Abe Sapien.
Fantastic.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Haven't seen that one yet, but I've seen, I think, all the others.
That's incredible. And this one actually was directed by Scott. He wrote the script, and I said, you know, it's just so damn good. You want to direct it? and he did, and it's an awesome episode.
Josh, are people recognizing you on the street now?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? What kind of response do you get?
They come up to me sometimes, and they say they love the show.
Uh-huh.
And
then you just have sex with them?
Not recently,
okay.
But don't you think that every guy out there with Down syndrome is also getting recognized for the show?
No.
I mean, don't you suspect they're coming up to all of them?
Oh, come on.
Well, no, he gets, you know, he's gotten people, you know, who will comment and say, oh, is that the dude from Life Goes On?
Which was
on like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm like,
right.
Yeah, the magical retard who doesn't age. You know what I mean? Like, what? Oh.
Let's talk about the word retard.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about it.
Because we get a lot of complaints about that as well. That is a demeaning term, you know, blah, 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 blah.
But, well, yeah.
You guys get the same response, I'm sure.
We do, absolutely. It goes back to the whole politically correct thing. I mean, like, what is the word that you want to use this decade? I mean, in the 70s and the 80s, you know, mentally retarded is just a medical term. And, you know, really retarded just means slow. So what's the big deal? You know, I mean, it's just a word.
Nobody calls somebody a retard now and thinks, you have an extra chromosome. You are Down syndrome when they say retard. Like, right. I mean, the actual, you know, he's been really lucky because... You know, he hasn't ever really been, like, teased and attacked or anything, but the people who are so uptight about the word,
mm-hmm.
it's just like the, you know, the N-word used to be for black people, it's like...
Oh, it still is, by the way.
It is, but they own that word.
Right? They do, yeah.
And it's like, why can't he own the R-word?
Exactly.
Right.
That's a good question. It's like every year, every decade, the words that are acceptable change.
Yeah. True.
I think Chris Rock that said back in the 70s, if you were to call a black man African, he would kick your ass.
Yeah.
Which I think is just... That's what's acceptable.
Now, Josh, is it hard for you to learn your lines? Do you memorize them? Is somebody on the set? Are you guys making it up kind of as you go, or what happens?
I read the lines.
You read them? Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I become a retarded policeman.
Yes, you do.
That's he's a good memorizer. Right. You're a good memorizer.
And he's good at improv. We throw stuff out at him, you know.
It has been a long time since we've been able to recommend something this great. And it's not politically correct, and we love that about it. But it's also not really making fun of anybody. Which I love.
That's the whole idea.
It's you, Josh, having a great sense of humor, and the people, everybody's playing along, and nobody gets hurt, so don't complain. We don't want to hear it.
It's all in good fun.
And
frankly, we don't care if people love it or hate it as long as they watch it.
Right.
Retarded Policeman is the name of it. It's at YouTube. You can go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. There's a link for all of them up there right now. And Josh, you do great work. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Greg and Scott, thank you guys for coming in. We appreciate it.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Thank you, Valvia, which is the new drug that's legal so far. Legal so far.
Right.
Well,
so far, that's legal.
That's why we had to get this video up at krock.com where it is in the video section of the Kevin and Bean page right now because already Congress is working hard to make it illegal. So we wanted to make sure we could get it while we still could.
Now, we have put up at the Internet Roundup, we have put up a bunch of links to people who are on YouTube. And you can watch them smoke it. And Psycho Mike had the brilliant idea of having the Armenian comedian come in, who is high every day.
How could you tell if he's on salvia? How is that any different than regular Sam?
Well, it's much more of a hallucinogen, right?
Exactly. I mean, exactly. And I wanted to see the difference. Because, like you said, if anybody can handle their weed, it's Sam. I mean, he's a champ. He has an iron lung. He just rips dank. But you see the reaction of these kids on YouTube. And I said, if there's anybody who I want to see taken to the next level... It is Mr. Armenian comedian Sam Manasian. So,
but the kids on YouTube in the videos that I've seen, and I've maybe checked out a half a dozen of them or so, they either sit there stoically without any expression on their face, like you can't even tell what's going on in their head because it's so mind blowing to them that they can't react externally, or they just start giggling uncontrollably. Those are the only two options that I've seen, and Sam was neither of those.
He was
a little bit of a surprise to me.
When you're dealing with a talent like Sam, you don't know what's going to happen when you pour gasoline on that fire.
Very good point.
He's such a wild card. No, and that's the truth. He's such a wild card. You never really know what's going to happen with him. And I knew for a fact that he wasn't going to be one of those guys that was just going to sit quietly, because Sam could never sit quietly.
Right. He's never been quiet in his life.
Yeah. But I had no idea what went on was going
to
happen.
So Sam wants to know exactly what this is, and I think Mike gives him a good explanation.
It's kind of like a type of weed. And we just want you to take a bong rip of it. There's a bunch of guys on YouTube. I said, if there's all these YouTube videos of people smoking and filming themselves, the guy we need to go to is number one pothead himself, Sam the Armenian Comedian.
That's the only medicine that we menhood should have.
It's the only medicine that we menhood should have.
Very true.
That's a good point.
Is he suggesting that pot is the only medicine you ever need? Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what he was trying to say, but he said
this. The salvia, by the way, in case you haven't heard of it, it does grow. It is a plant. It does grow. It's very big in New Mexico, for instance, and it's very similar, I guess, to smoking pot, except it's got way more hallucinogenic properties to it.
So Mike is explaining to him how to do it. We have magically produced a gigantic bong.
That was beer mugs. Thank you, beer mug.
I was trying to keep that quiet, but all right, that's good. So we bring it out, and they get the salvia, and he starts explaining to Sam that he has to hold it in his lungs.
You have to hold it in your lungs as long as you can.
I've done it before.
Listen
to me. It's nothing new. What's in it?
It's weedish.
Weedish?
Yeah. Weedish.
It's weedish.
Yeah.
That's all Sam needs to know, but he kind of picks up on that.
Weedish?
Yeah.
From Swedish?
Yes, exactly.
Weedish from Swedish.
Yes.
All right.
You can hear they're outside. You can hear the cars and the birds and everything else.
Is this a Mexicana?
Yes, it is.
King of David.
Okay, so he sees the King of Mexico, and he says, is this Mexicana?
Right.
Yes, it is. King of David is his greeting. Okay, so he takes some. By the way, you can see this at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, videos.
Okay.
Go to videos. There's a video of Sam up doing this, and he's a visual that needs to be experienced in person.
Hold it in.
Yeah.
Hold it, hold
it. It's rushing to feel good.
It's rushing to feel good. I speak Sam.
Want to take another hit?
No, this is enough.
That's enough.
Because pretty soon I feel like I'm going to jump on this monkey.
So he points to a tree and says, pretty soon I'm going to jump on this monkey.
Is he seeing the monkey, do you think?
At this point, his eyes are really starting to move in weird ways. Like, they're really erratic, banking back and forth in his head.
Like a monkey on a tree.
I'm sorry.
Is it already hitting you?
It's hitting me like a monkey on a tree.
Okay, so it's hitting him like a monkey on a tree.
All right.
I guess. Then he starts, well, when you have this much talent, sometimes it just oozes out. Does he bring that recorder with him everywhere he goes?
100%.
You don't know when you're going to need it.
Yesterday he showed up. He showed up in a quadruple XL shirt with hair clippers and a flute.
Generation years ago, I be coming to tell you. I was born in Africa.
Okay, now he takes his shirt off.
Yeah.
Oh dear God, no.
And climbs into some bushes.
Yeah.
So he's in bushes now, shouting, I was born in Africa.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The Lion of Judah.
The Lion of Judah. What would you guess that means?
Of course, the very popular Lion of Judah.
Is it a biblical reference?
It is. I don't know. It's in Ezekiel 22:16.
You don't know, do you?
I have no idea. Right.
I am the blood king of this natural habitat.
So now he's in the bush, no shirt, and he's shouting about how he's the Lion King of this habitat.
I'm going to call it the Land of Kingdom of the Lions. Howl!
Okay, now he's growling like a lion.
He's roaring, yeah.
He's trying to roar.
It's so hard. I don't have a baseline on this because Sam acts like this all the time, even when he's not stoned.
He does. He acts like this. Yeah. In that he's hard to understand things, but when he starts really yelling and by the way his the way he undressed, you could tell that was when he really was really high on salvia, because he even mentioned that to me afterwards. He said, that is part I don't understand why it happened to me, you know, and he just for no reason was playing the flute and all of a sudden starts to like take his top off and just walk around aimlessly.
The King Kong! King Kong does!
Okay, now he's gone from the King of Judah to the King of Lions to King Kong.
The King of Kong.
And the then King of Kong. Yeah. and he ends up pounding his chest like King Kong on the, you know, on the building. I mean, he just really is going crazy at this point.
Did you talk to him afterwards to ask what it was he was seeing in front of him when he was behaving like this?
Yeah, I said, Sam, I kept trying to, on camera, I said, please describe what you're seeing and feeling. And he just kept saying, this is not right, but I feel so open and free. I am closer to God. You kept saying that to you? He was like...
Here's what I like about Mike, is that Mike would say, is that enough? And Sam would go, yeah, that's enough. And Mike would go, that's not enough? And he'd put the bong right in front of his mouth, and he hits it again. So the point here... If we're going to make a point, if you're going to take something away from the Kevin and Bean show, is it don't do salvia? Don't do drugs?
Okay.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Don't be at any time in your life with Sam.
Well, that's definitely a good point
say
to make.
If you're going to do it now while it's legal.
Okay. I'm good with that.
The pointless exercises and radio tedium. This is what this is.
Let me explain to you what this story is.
Let me explain to you what this is.
And then you tell us how we can do anything except call chili. Okay? The teens call their public orgies panseo. On a typical Friday afternoon in the Chilean capital of Santiago, hundreds gather in an urban park for a few hours of sexual experimentation.
Yeah!
When the party is over, no contact information is exchanged. They just go, they have sex in public at the park, they have a huge orgy, and then they leave. And this is becoming more commonplace in Chile.
I'm all for that.
Okay,
don't get me wrong. I never have any problem with any of the stories that spur you down this wrong-headed path.
How do we not make this call?
The stories are always interesting.
Right.
However, your version of what you call investigative journalism usually involves calling a 7-Eleven or a guy who works the counter at the Holiday Inn in Santiago and says, do you know about the sexy teens who are having the orgies? Sir, the orgies, do you know about them?
How dare you.
That's usually how the investigative journalism goes.
I believe it was the last time we tried this. We got somebody who knew the story, talked to us. Remember that?
We did.
That was
right.
A first in the history of the Kevin and Bean show.
In the last one, we're 100%.
So, yeah. Okay? So you're a guy who gets up to bat 1,000 times.
Yes, but I just hit a home run. How dare you?
And the rest of the time, you struck out. You didn't even get a piece of the ball.
That's correct.
It was just three.
Right.
Let's call Santiago Chile. And find out more information about the panseo, because it sounds like fun. One 15-year-old girl with pink hair and a pierced chin, Ralph, named Natalia, says, it's all about having fun. This time in the park, I had 7 partners. That's what's going on with the youth in Chile.
I'm all for the swinger lifestyle. I'm just not for you calling Chile and being bad. That's what I'm not for.
Mike has now pushed 75 numbers. I don't know.
Nothing has happened.
I don't know where he's calling.
Don't even turn on the technical aspects of this failure that happens every time.
You don't understand.
If you'd like to make a phone call.
We're going to get it. So we're dialing it now. Here we go.
There we go.
Okay.
Santiago, Chile now.
Yeah. Oficina Victor Lobo.
Here we go.
Hi, do you speak English? Do you speak English, ma'am?
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, come on. That wasn't our fault, though, Ralph. We made the call. That's not our fault.
It is your fault because you made the
call. That was the Grand
Hyatt. You not see the cause and effect?
That was the Grand Hyatt. Let's try the Ritz-Carlton.
Why would someone at a hotel hang up when you say, do you speak English? If I wanted to make reservations there, that's a perfectly natural question.
Thank you, Lisa.
Maybe she doesn't speak English and she can't understand what you're asking her.
No one in that hotel? Come on.
Every time this happens, it's the goddamn same result,
not,
Lisa.
Not last time.
How is it there?
Not last
time. People's
time.
Fault in the country.
Not last time
do
is what
you
I'm saying.
Click. Okay, who could predict that?
Say, habla inglés.
Oh, good. Good.
Habla inglés. Banco Popular. How are you backing their play on this one?
Well,
how are
they
you
standing
by
last
them?
Time.
They have.
It worked once out of 1,000 times.
But it was the last time, so now we're on a roll.
Exactly.
We're hot, Ralph. You don't understand. You don't walk away from a hot table,
it was
okay?
The only time. Hello? It wasn't the last time.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hola.
Is this Chile? Is this the country of Chile?
I hear someone. I hear
her. Yeah, there's definitely something going on.
Shut up, Ralph. Hello? This...
Hold on.
That's some pretty good hold music.
We're on hold.
Good.
That's something.
No, we're not on hold. We're inside a music box.
But someone was there. Hello?
Hola?
Hello?
Mike, did you dial one of the numbers that they yes! vetted before the bit? Okay.
Hello?
I don't know Please why speak to us, sir. Truck.
Hola.
Ralph is going to quit the show unless somebody says hello.
Someone's there, though. You guys
they
can hear
are,
it, right?
Yeah.
No, I may go with them.
All right. Dial it again. Listen, this is not working.
By all means.
Try it one more time.
Take another 7 minutes of dialing. to get
right, this is the last
freaking
time.
Ballerina on top of a music box.
This is the last time, weird. Ralph.
They're having orgies in the park, Ralph. That's the part you're missing.
I get the story.
So let's call and find out more.
People
you are
know.
Truly the abused spouse who does not leave the house after being beaten with an inch of
How
husband.
Dare
Maybe
you?
This time he won't come home drunk and will love me. That's what you're the wife saying.
Last time was so much magic.
It was last time was the only time it ever worked.
But it's like saying you never win in Vegas right after you hit a jackpot. You can't convince somebody of that right after they win. You know what I mean?
Yes, I understand.
Thank
exactly.
you, Lisa.
I'm
All
glad
right.
we're doing
Mike
this.
Mike looks All like right, he's putting Mike. It on hold. Here we go. Let's try it one more time. What are you dialing, Mike?
Hang on.
Trying the Ritz-Carlton, Santiago.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. You speak English, sir.
Yes, I do.
Yes, it's Kevin and Bean. We're calling from K-Rock in Los Angeles. How are you?
Awesome hearing you guys.
Awesome hearing us, guys. What do you mean?
So not Spanish.
Oh, because I always hear you guys on your webcast.
You don't.
Yeah, every morning.
What are the chances of this?
Are you kidding?
This is a setup.
It is. Hey,
No, it's not.
it's King of Mexico?
Here's what's funny. No, here's what I want to tell you guys is funny. This guy, Victor Lobos, sent us an email saying, hey, I live in Chile, and I listen to the show, and I can find out about the story. So we set him up. So this was a setup from the beginning, and it took us 15 minutes to get a hold of him.
Still couldn't get through.
First, the woman hung up on us. Then we had hold music. Then there was someone there. We couldn't hear who it was. And it was a setup ahead of time.
You guys blow.
That's how good we are.
But now...
All right, listen. We're almost out of time. Victor, tell us about the Ponceo. We read about it in Newsweek this week. Apparently very popular in your city, in your country. Teenage Georgie's in the park. What's going on, dude?
Well, there's this thing going about teenage tribes going on.
Tribes?
Is that like gangs?
Like urban tribes, they call it.
Okay.
Themselves. And some of them are called Pokemons.
Pokemons?
Pokemon, they put the poke in Pokemons. I got that, all right.
No.
And they got all this look, you know, with their hairstyles and clothes, and, well, they're going nuts.
Wait a minute. They have hairstyles and clothes?
Are you saying that they try to dress up like Pokemon?
Like... Exactly like the Pokemons. They're more like a
emo,
kind of like a gothic or emo
Goth.
Thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, but how are they having sex in public? That must be against the law in your country.
It is. But some crazy things are going on. Like right in front of my office, we always watch a couple of lesbian schoolgirls go at it.
Yeah.
Oh, come on! You're just saying that.
I need to move to
Santiago.
Kidding.
You sit on a throne of lies. That you would not even be answering the phone if that was going on in front of your window, Victor.
I'll send you some pictures, man.
Okay, Victor, first we need pictures. Then we need you to approach them and get us their phone numbers.
I'm not sure they'll speak English, but I'll try to translate.
Don't worry about that.
We can get right through any kind of language barrier.
Look, I believed that the story was true because I don't think Newsweek would print something crazy like this if it weren't true. This didn't come out of the Inquirer. Right? It's Newsweek. But you're telling me that you've seen with your own eyes, you've seen these kids doing this, Victor?
Yeah, not actual sex, but pretty much close to it.
Making out, everything else.
Wow. How about that? And what are the adults saying? What are the parents saying in Santiago? I mean, are they trying to stop it, or is it they just shrug their shoulders and go, well, there's nothing you can do. They're just kids.
I think that's just the way things are going right now. They have their own parties, like, and they're during the daytime, actually.
During the daytime?
When the parents are at work.
Wow. That's great. Fantastic. I got to move to Chile.
you guys got to come down here. We got a lot of wine and a lot of
women?
Countryside to go watch.
Wine and countryside. That's what Kevin and Bean are all about. They love their wine and countryside.
We were hoping the second one would be some woman, females, girls, something like that.
All right, Victor, before we hang up, how did you happen to end up listening to the Kevin and Bean show on KROQ.com? Why do you even know about us?
About 7 years ago, I was trying to look for a radio that had rock music on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how we got to it, and everybody here at the firm listens to you guys in the morning, because here with the time change, we start listening to you guys around 8 o'clock in the morning, so it's pretty good.
Nice.
Wow.
Beautiful. All right. Well, listen, you're awesome to talk to us. You hang on. We're going to put you on with our producer, Alex, and see if we can send you some T-shirts or something, all right?
Awesome. And speak to the Super Whore.
All right, Victor, have a great day, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Two for two, Ralph. We'll take your apology now.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know it was a setup.
Sorry, Kevin Abine, I was wrong.
No. How well did the first call at the hotel? How well did that go?
It was a rough start.
That's standard operational procedure.
Just because a team comes out in the first quarter and plays poorly doesn't mean they don't have time to bring it back around.
You cannot shoot free throws. That's your problem.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ.
You know, I think I would make a good president. And
yes, you do.
I can't seem to get much support for that idea. This is Bean's idea. He thinks...
But why not? Why wouldn't I love the news and I love television? Tell me a better combination of things that are in my wheelhouse than being a TV news anchorman.
Well, first of all, you have the look. And that's good. Because you have
that hideous hair
that's long and just looks like it's you're just a bum on the streets. At least you got that going for you.
I assume they have people. They have makeup and hair people that make you pretty for
the
camera, don't they?
But you refuse... I mean, we go into a nice restaurant. You refuse to wear long pants. Are you really going to put on a shirt and tie and a jacket?
You don't have to wear long. You can wear underwear, just boxers, when you're sitting there behind the desk. Nobody can see your
legs. But a shirt and tie, dude.
Yeah.
I can wear a shirt and tie. All right. We asked the producer Lightning to line up an expert in this field so we can find out how realistic my dream is. And he came up with Jeff Michael, who, of course, is the weekend anchor on Fox 11 at the 10 o'clock news and the weekday reporter. And Jeff, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great. Thanks for joining us. You've been with Fox for how long now, dude?
I've been with Fox for, about 8 or 9 years, and before that I was over at KABC for about 8 years.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay, so you got a lot of experience. You've been doing this for, you know, like 25 years or something. You've been in the news biz, right?
Right, yeah.
Don't you love it when people give you the respect that you deserve by saying, hey, that looks easy, I could do that.
Oh, yeah. What I love is when interns come dressed for work thinking that one of the anchors is going to fall over dead and they'll be asked to just slip right in and do the job.
Sure, that happens all the time.
You just read, right? That's what Bean said.
No, do you really think so?
That's what Bean thinks, yeah.
No.
Well, here's what I think, Jeff, and this is why we wanted to have you on. I mean, this is a fact-finding mission here. I think that there are anchors who are actual reporters who actually do the hard work and make the phone calls and write the story. But I think there are also blowhards like Paul Moyer who come in 5 minutes before his shift and sits down and they spray the fake tan on him and he reads on the teleprompter and he goes home at 11:30.
Which one do you want to be, Dean?
I want to be the Paul Moyer one.
Blowhard.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You tell me, Jeff. I mean, what's really involved in being a TV anchor?
Well, you know what? I think it's what you make it. I think that you're probably right. There are some anchors out there who probably do walk in a little late and read the news. But I think most of us try to do our own fact-checking. We try to edit our own copy, write some of our own copy.
That's the problem right there, is that Bean, who is a grammar Nazi, would drive everyone that he works with out of the business.
Absolutely.
You know what, Bean? I do the same thing. And they hate me for that. I'm a grammar phobe. I have all those little books on my desk.
Jeff, you'll agree with me. If you're going to put it on television, what's the harm in taking an extra 20 seconds to make it right? I mean, that's all it is why say it wrong if you can say it right? I mean, that's all you're saying, right?
Exactly, yeah. But I just don't know why you would want – why would you want to leave your little abode and go on TV, for crying out loud?
Jeff, I'll tell you that because he thinks that it would be a lot less work, that he would just be able to show up for 40 minutes total, you know, 10 before, 10 after, 5 before, 5 after, and just walk in, walk out, and be done.
It would be easier than never leaving your house, which is what he does now. How is that easier, Bean?
Look, this show takes a lot of hours out of me, Jeff. I got to be honest. I'm getting old. I don't know how much longer I can hang on, dude. But tell me about your day. Like if you're doing the 10 o'clock news tonight, for instance.
I am. I'm anchoring the 10 o'clock news tonight.
Okay.
Great. You're at Fox 11 tonight at 10. What time will you show up at work today?
I get in at 3 o'clock. I get in at 3 o'clock to do that.
That's not good for me.
3 o'clock?
That's not going to work for
you. What do you do from 3 to 10?
Yeah.
Mostly my hair. No, I'm kidding. You know what? You read a couple of newspapers. You go through the wires. You have a couple of meetings. There's a budget meeting.
How much say do you have on the stories that are covered on the nightly news?
how much say? I think that the anchor's opinion counts probably as much as anybody else's. I don't think you have a lot more say.
My man Bean has various interests, and I can guarantee you that no one will share his interests. He will bring up story after story after story, and it'll drive you out of your freaking mind.
So in the meeting, for instance, let's assume I'm the anchor, Jeff, and I'm sitting down with whoever the editors-in-chief are, whatever you've got over at Channel 11, and I say, guys, it's time to revisit what's going on with Pluto. Let's do a Pluto story tonight. Let's give that 10 or 15 minutes on the 10 o'clock news. That's the type of thing that they would just automatically nix. I wouldn't be able to overrule and still put Pluto on the TV?
Yeah, I don't even think that. I think that there'd be about 5 seconds of silence and move on. Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
They won't even nod his way, will they?
Well, and Bean, you've got to keep your opinions to yourself.
Oh, dear God, that's not possible. It's just not possible. He's got to speak up, and he's got to theorize on every story that's out there.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have to be likable, Jeff?
Well, they sure want you to be.
Yeah, that's another problem.
It'd be good if women liked you, too, right?
Oh, that's another problem.
Jeff, have you run...
You never get picked to be on a jury. That you know.
Yeah, well...
Oh, that kills me right there.
This time either.
Jeff, have you had any trouble? You talk about the impartiality that's expected of you as an anchor. Have you had any trouble where you've had to report on a story that you've had some problems with the way it was presented, and you just had to kind of sit on it, or has it turned into a fight? What sort of stuff happens behind the scenes?
You mean if I don't like the way we're reporting on a story?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think that you if I think that we're reporting on a story in an unbalanced way, I mean, no, I don't sit on it. I have to say something.
Oh, dear God, Bean will drive you people crazy. Yeah, oh, it's intolerable. Oh,
well, and Bean, I think you'd have to change your name back to your to whatever
to Gene?
The other name.
That's
is.
Fine. I'd be Gene Baxter. Sure, I'd be fine with that in the news. I'm not married to Bean. All right, let me ask you this. So you've been doing it for like 30 years.
No, let's go back to 25.
25, okay.
25 years, all right. You've got and I have been doing it for zero. You've got a bachelor's degree in mass communications. You graduated in 81, so you've got credentials. I, of course, am a college dropout. I don't know how much that's going to work against me. Realistically, if today's day one, how long is it going to take me to get your job, Jeff?
You know, I think if you work hard, you could probably do it in about 15 years.
Wow!
He has to work hard.
I'm not going to be alive that long.
You've got to start in a small town.
Nope.
Yuma is a good place.
Oh no! That's
I
not going to
yes.
work for me either.
I think that's a good answer. I think Yuma is a good answer.
But Bean has all this radio experience. Doesn't that count for anything?
What?
Well, there. You know, I think the radio thing helps. I got to tell you. You know, I just don't think it's going to carry him though.
Yeah. They want you to have some news credibility. Basically, they want you to be able to write a story. Is what you're saying.
You should have some news credibility. Although sometimes I have to, we all sit back and wonder how some people do get on the air. But
Paul Moyer,
not our choice.
Paul Moyer. Now, Bean would have to ad lib at times on long quote breaking news stories in stuff that he hates. Like, for example, he cannot tolerate the fact that a car chase is on TV.
Okay. Wow. No, you know what? Bean and I are on the same.
Okay, that's fine. But can you keep that to yourself while you do it?
When I'm on the air, I do. But no, I'm with you on that one, Bean. I hate those things. I think
well, it's absurd. It's
right,
crazy.
An intelligent person can sound stupid inside of about 5 minutes.
No, it's not that. It's not that he'll sound stupid. It's the disdain that he has for people who would watch that would come through loud and clear.
Here's the thing, Jeff, and tell me if I'm wrong about this. You and your staff work hard all day long to put together a solid newscast to entertain and inform your viewers at 10 o'clock on Channel 11, and then the entire thing gets thrown out the window because a guy's driving a 7-Eleven truck or something down the 405. I mean, that's just an insult to the viewers who tune in who want to see news that affects their lives. Don't you agree?
Oh, you put me in a tough place. I think that that's a tough call on our part. I think if people turned off when we put those chases on,
never going to happen.
You would see fewer of them.
Too entertaining. Yes. But see, Bean, here's the
people
thing. You have that idea. I know that that's what you believe. But the guy in your earpiece is going to say, keep going, dude. Just go with the car chase.
Oh,
yeah,
this is getting harder and harder the more we talk to Jeff. I want to do this less and less.
You should just be a brain surgeon. Let me just move on to that. That seems simple.
Well, it makes my job a lot more secure. So
no, you were never threatened, dude.
You know what, Jeff? Having you on, you may have talked me out of it,
wow.
And I hope you're proud of yourself for shattering the dream, dude.
Well, hey,
now what about Thompson? His job's easy. Can I just do the weather instead?
Now, that's a breeze.
That's you
that
show
one,
up.
That one you could have.
You show up. You're there for 5 minutes. You walk out. It's the same thing every day here. It's going to be, you know, sunny today and 70.
70, yeah.
Right, right. And Thompson keeps his jacket in the studio. Have you ever noticed? It's always the same one.
No, I have not.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. All right, Jeff, you're off the hook. I'm coming after Mark Thompson next. Please join our friend Jeff Michael tonight anchoring the Fox 11 10 o'clock news. Great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You too, guys.
Thank you, man.
This is the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin, are you ready to admit that baseball rules?
Yeah.
Our Dodgers, well, they swept the Cubs, don't you know?
And now it's up to Alfonso Soriano, and how symbolic that is, Ron, that he would be the hitter. Cubs down to their last out of the series. 0-4 tonight. 1-13 in the series. Strike one. 0-2. He went around. Strike three. The game is over. And the Dodgers sweep.
I was watching that game Saturday night, and I texted your friend Tom Morello at the end of the game. Said, I said, dude, sorry.
He's such a huge Cubs fan.
He texted back. He said, I have no more tears to cry. Which I thought was very sad. Remember when Tom was in the other day being a big Cubs fan, and we played some of that Eddie Vedder song for him? Remember Eddie Vedder?
We are one with the Cubs we're in love. Yeah, hold our head high as the underdogs.
We kind of laughed at this.
Fair weather, but foul weather fans.
He loved it.
Like
though.
Brothers in arms in the streets and us.
He says, I'm getting goosebumps.
There's magic in the ivy in the old scoreboard. The same when I stared at as a kid keeping score. In a world full of greed, I could never want more. Someday we'll go out of. Yeah,
maybe in 100 years.
So we got to talking about all of the celebrity songs that are have been coming out about the teams. It seems to be the hot new trend. Eddie Vedder is not the only one who made a song for his favorite baseball team, it turns out.
Yeah, we found many different bands. One of them, a song from System of a Down.
Really?
Did you know they liked baseball?
Over 1 million Armenians were slaughtered by the Ottoman Turks during World War I. Largely unrecognized by the Western governments, and they fight Armenian genocide. The Armenian genocide. And the Dodgers are pretty cool.
There you go. Did you know that was in there?
There's always a thinly veiled message in all of the System songs. I don't know if you could even catch what was going on there, but basically it's a Dodger song.
How about Social D? You know they were Angels fans?
Yeah.
Not a lot of work on the lyrics there, but
yeah, that's your Social D. They pull it off with attitude, though.
Beck, did you know?
Oh,
no,
I did not know.
Dodgers fan.
Okay.
Yep.
Ozone nightmare, candy cane, butt plug, cheese whiz, sofa, shotgun, oatmeal, candy cane, presidential, stupid face, yogurt.
The L.A. Dodgers, oh, the L.A. Dodgers, oh.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, but all right.
That's back for you.
Who else is from Anaheim, would you guess?
How about No Doubt?
Yeah.
How about No Doubt?
Well, girl power, I'm a girl, that means I'm rad. Woo! Girls love baseball, Anaheim Angels. Girls rock so much, Harajuku girl. Harajuku girls play blues, baseball with the Harajuku girls. Wow.
That That's Gwen?
We couldn't find a female singer?
She doesn't sound that good. I mean,
really? She has sounded better in the past. And we started out with that Eddie Vedder song.
Yes.
Apparently he's recorded another one.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're kidding.
In the time since the Dodgers swept them.
Oh.
It was not pretty.
The Chicago Cubs. Oh, yeah. The Cubs suck so much. Yeah, the Cubs suck. You.
Wow.
The Cubs suck so much. You for disappointing me. Every year you choke. The Cubs suck so much. Oh, the Cubs suck so much.
That's nice as
fuck. Suck at playing baseball. You have the best record in the National League. Oh, you still got swept like a bunch of bitch asses. Oh, the Cubs suck so much. I want to kill every one of you. Kiss my ass. I wrote pretty songs for you. And you still lost. You suck. You Chicago Cubs.
Wow.
Yeah, you lick my asshole. You suck so much. Oh, you suck. Yes, you really, really suck.
Wow.
That's kind of sad. I feel bad for him now.
He took that hard.
Time to meet the first crazy man of 2008.
It is. Sustainable Dave is his name. Good morning, Sustainable.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are good.
Hey, Lisa.
Good morning.
Dave, What are you doing, dude?
What am I doing? First of all, I don't know if I'm totally crazy, but we'll find out in a year.
Oh, we can vouch for that now, dude.
Okay, all right. I started January 1st a little plan to try to keep all of my garbage for a year in the basement of my house.
Let me clarify. You're going to keep all of your garbage for a full year in your basement.
Yeah. Now, when I say all, by the way, anything that's going to become a public health hazard, and we don't need to go into the specifics of that, obviously. I'm not talking about that stuff. But pretty much anything that I throw away, any waste that I cause, generate, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to try to keep it for a year in order to sort of at the end of the year look at it and say, whoa, because
that's a lot of stuff. So, and whoa is your ultimate goal? That's what you want to do is look at it and say whoa?
Hopefully something more than whoa comes out of it, because I think I'll have wasted a lot of time if that's all it is. I mean, the big thing is it's just I realized I have no concept of what it is and how much it is, and if you could actually step back and look at it, like if landfills started to close, which actually they are, the largest one in the world, which is here in California, is closing in 2013. What would we do if we had to keep it? And I hear you laughing.
Well, no, I mean, how many people know that? How many people know that statistic?
Sustainable does.
Sustainable Dave.
Sustainable's done the research, exactly.
What's the date? 2013 is not accurate enough for me.
I think it's January 1st.
That's what I thought.
All right. I'll find out for you. No, but the thing is, not a lot of people know that, but the question is how many people should know that? Because this is the thing, is we don't think about it. And you know, one of the things that I found out in sort of like learning about all this process is that one-third of all the things that go into landfills are packaging. So it's stuff that we buy that stuffs in that we know we're going to throw out that shouldn't be there. I mean, it makes no sense. So it's just sort of like, I mean, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Hopefully I'll still be married at the end of the year.
Sustainable Dave does have a wife and two kids.
Yeah, I have a wife and two kids.
So is there trash going in there too?
No, I'm trying to do just mine.
Person.
And so I'm sort of, I'm, what is this, 4 days into it. And I'm still figuring out the rules, if you will, which are up on my site.
I see some rules on your side. One is if something is waste that I have generated, I have to deal with it.
Yes.
Now,
two.
Does that mean that if you can recycle it, you do recycle?
Well, absolutely. But for now, and we'll see how this goes, I'm trying to keep my recycling as well. Because
he's saving it all.
Only 10% of what we recycle actually ends up being, or what can be recycled. I'm sorry. 10% of our waste is recycled. So a lot of that ends up in the landfill. So, you know, it's just sort of, I figured if I just did what the quote-unquote waste was, and we have great, really great recycling here in California, it sort of doesn't show how much my footprint, if you want to call it that, is.
Mommy, why is Daddy throwing all of our trash in the basement? We like to play down there.
My three-year-old doesn't seem to completely get it. My five-year-old, who turned six yesterday, seems to think it's pretty cool. And we have a worm composter in the basement, and they actually like going down and playing with the worms.
Right. Great. What could go wrong there? All right, now number three, I just want to read because this is the one that kills me.
Okay.
Any waste which, for health reasons, dog poop, medical waste from doctor's visits, etc., cannot be saved, will at least be noted and examined regarding the impact of its creation and disposal.
Okay. Examine.
How closely are you going to examine poop and try to figure out its what's creating it?
Again, I'm still figuring out the rules. Maybe examined was not the best word, and I take that as a note from you. If you'd like to come over and check them out with me, I can figure out.
Sustainable. The dog poop isn't your waste.
Well, no, but it is. I mean, I do own a dog. Therefore, it's part of kind of my overall what I'm putting out there. Again, I'm not quantifying the dog poop, but it's sort of like it is worth talking about. And if you'll notice, one of the first posts that I put up, first thing in the morning, of course, to take the dog out. That was one of the first things that hit me. I just put in there, so now it's out there, that we actually use biodegradable bags called, I think they're called bio bags, made out of cornstarch. So at least I'm not putting a plastic bag into with the poop into the landfill. You know what I mean?
I recognize your passion, and I congratulate you
for that.
Thanks. Imagine being your family. Oh, my God, that would suck.
Yeah.
That would suck.
Keep on the blog. I mean, they seem pretty cool with it, but again, we're only in day four. And
Sustainable. They'll be gone by the Super Bowl, man. I'm telling you, you can't live with a crazy guy like this for long. I mean, it's really, I mean, depending on how committed you are to it, you really could drive them crazy and drive them away.
I may very well, but let me put it out there. You guys don't know me extremely well, but you have to assume that they've probably put up with a fair amount already.
Yeah.
True.
It didn't come out
yeah,
of left field.
That's true. Yeah. Right, but this is probably the straw that breaks the camel's back, let's be honest.
Well, see, I have a pretty cool family, and they know that I'm not doing it for insanity reasons, just to poke people with a finger, but sort of just like put some information.
But he's right. I mean, our packaging is ridiculous.
It
I think it was Sweden or Norway that I heard about a year or so ago, and they do things like when you go to buy jelly, you actually have something that you bring to the store, and they have containers where you actually put the jelly, you know, you release the jelly into your container and take it home.
That's not jelly?
It's packaging all the time.
You can put the jelly in your pocket. But, I mean, the two that kill me are this number kills me. Every single day, 2.5 million water bottles are thrown away.
Yeah.
And you got water. I mean, we live in L.A. with clean water, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I drink it out of the tap all the time.
Exactly.
I do.
Yeah. So it just makes no sense. But most people do it. Why? Because it's easy and it's accessible and it's there. And they just don't think about it.
And Sustainable, you brought up the best point of all in your opening minute, which is when you said that people, they put the trash out on the curb and they never think about it. And all you're doing is saying, think about how much trash one person generates over a period of time, and then multiply that by how many people we got, and you can see that you got yourself a problem.
It's insane. And I mean, you know, the reality is what at the end of the year, I'm going to have this trash, I'm going to have to do something about it. It's not like I'm not going to go out there. It's more just so I can go, whoa. And also, when you realize that you can't quote-unquote throw it away, which is really just chucking it to where you can't see it, in all honesty, you suddenly go, when you go to the store, you go, well, wait a minute, I could buy this, or I could buy, oh, wait a minute, I could buy that in bulk, and that has no packaging. I'm going to buy that. So you start actually making choices based on that. And that's
what's going to happen, dude, is you're going to get to the end of the year, your house is going to be filled up, not just the basement, but the first floor, the second floor, too, with your freaking trash, and you're just going to have to burn that mother down. What's going
to
happen.
What I think you need to do is December 31st, then you think you need to come to the house and do a live remote.
Yes, we would love to do that on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, wait, can I make you?
Hey, let's go to Sustainable Dave's house and check out the trash in his apartment.
I'm sorry to trump you on that because I know you were thinking.
Are
that
you kidding?
I got on the air with you, but if I do that and I make it all that way, will you take a pledge next year to never?
No.
Wait. You have to hear me. To never take another plastic bag. That's all. It's simple.
Actually, I already do that. But here's
I do.
Here's my favorite thing from your website, though. For now, I'm going to keep stuff in the basement of our house, and I will post pics as it accumulates. So now, on your website, I can go there and look at the trash in your basement.
If you're up late at night and you can't sleep and you need to see my garbage anytime.
Wow. Well, look, Kevin has often accused the internet of having too much available bandwidth, and I gotta almost be with him on this. For every yahoo like you who's up there with Sustainable Dave's site, there is one less college chick in Texas that can't put a webcam in her apartment. I mean, you got to consider it that way.
I do take that into account, and I may buy a couple webcams for those lovely ladies.
And because of your actions, Sustainable Dave, I think probably the earth is out of balance, and I'm going to have to throw away twice as much trash this year just to keep things even.
Well, all right. I can't control that.
All right.
Let me give out the addresses.
Oh, yeah.
Sustainable Dave.
Out. They want to look at that trash.
SustainableDave.org or 365daysoftrash.blogspot.com for the blog. Dave, great to talk to you, man. Good luck. You're crazy. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks a lot.
A new low has been reached on the Kevin Bean program.
Look,
we try so hard to get these big-time celebrities on the show, Kevin. And then to have to worry about you running them off forever.
What's going on? Look.
What are you doing?
Look.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
At least Sean Penn is naturally chatty and tends to do a lot of press and radio interviews.
Yeah, and he ad-libs a lot when he gets into that mode of being funny, man. There's just no stopping him.
Oh, wait a minute. He rarely talks to yahoos like us.
That's not him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Here's the thing, and we do the best we can with the guests that we're lucky enough to get on this program. But
listen, he shouldn't come on our show and talk about a comedy movie unless he wants to be funny.
Kevin, it's not a comedy movie. It's a tragic, sad story about a guy who died. It's not comedy.
Oh.
So we try to do a little bit of research before the guests come on so that we know what their sensibility is. I mean, you're not going to have the same line of questioning for every guest. There's some guys who are just wacky and you can do anything with, talk about anything. Then there are other guys that you kind of handle with kid gloves a little bit. And Sean Penn, certainly, Kevin, you know, you're media savvy enough to know that his reputation has preceded him. You know what you're getting when it's Sean Penn, and it's not a barrel of monkeys, right?
This guy would regularly, as a young man, punch photographers out
for
impinging on his personal space and trying to take his photograph.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a barrel of laughs. I did know that going in. Yeah.
Okay, so then let's play the clip from the interview with Sean Penn, Academy Award-winning actor Sean Penn, directing the new film Into the Wild. And let's see if the listeners who hear this can figure out where the interview went horribly wrong. Is this a role that you would have wanted to play, Sean, had you been young enough for the role?
I was a good deal older than the guy when I first read it, so it never came to mind that way. I never could have or did consider that.
You could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli. It's changed the whole thing around.
not at all, Kevin.
No.
But I did. It did lead me into my next question, which is a guy who has...
Yeah.
Kevin.
Now, here's the thing.
Yes, what's the thing, Kevin?
When that stupid joke came to my mind, every red flag in me went off. Every single one. Don't say this. It's going to be a disaster. He doesn't have a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a serious movie. Right. He hasn't been Spicoli in 20 years. All of it went off in my head. He's not going to like it. And my mouth just has a mind of its own. I'm sorry. It just, I couldn't, I knew it was bad.
Your mouth has a mind of its own.
It was like the mind for my rest of my body was going no, but my mouth said, "All right, let's blurt it out. This is a good plan." Knowing it was bad, I could not keep it in.
But at least it was also awkward, didn't quite fit into the conversation. At least it wasn't really a joke that came easily. You really had to force the wildly inappropriate thing into the...
Bean said, did you ever consider playing the role?
Right.
So that's that. Now we're talking about Sean Penn playing a role.
But he said no.
Right.
You said, once he said no, how does that mean if you had played it?
Movie and make it a comedy, and then you could have been Spicoli in it,
too. When you watch like Fox Sports West, they have like the 100 greatest hockey goals.
Yeah.
You never just show the goal. They never just show the slap shot. They got to show like a couple passes leading up.
Yes.
That's what the best part about this is. You hear Bean setting up something totally non-related, and Kevin just comes with the knockout punch.
Apparently, he was determined to bring up the Spicoli favorite goal.
You're such a liar. You had to have.
I did not. Although everything started moving in slow motion. As soon as Bean said, did you consider acting? Spicoli was the first thing that came to my mind. And then it was like, and my mind was going, no, don't say it. Spicoli.
Must force in Spicoli joke.
I knew it would be a disaster. Why couldn't I stop?
We don't know. We don't know, Kevin.
I was on the conversation, and all I tried to do, as you heard at the end of the tape, was ask the next question as fast as possible so Mr. Penn didn't hang up. Lisa, what was going through your mind as Kevin started talking about Fast Times at freaking Ridgemont High?
That's our Kevin. That's what I was thinking. That's our Kevin. He's the same one that brings up dead dads interviews with actors.
Here's what I
What's your dad think of that? And then when we find out his dad's dead, he goes, well, good.
But at least you could excuse that of not knowing if the guy's father's dead or not. That's almost reasonable.
But Kevin has an unerring instinct to find those places. I don't know how he does.
Lisa's the only person that I like in this room because she tried to laugh it off.
I did.
I don't know if you could hear, but from Sean Penn's end, it was a black hole of sound. There was nothing coming back. I mean, he wasn't chuckling.
No.
He didn't
going to validate with a response in
any way. Courtesy laugh.
No.
He didn't even breathe. But here's Lisa May. Could have gone comedy with it and Ben Spicoli. Just changed the whole thing around. Thank you, Lisa. At least
you tried.
It's in Lisa's job description, by the
it
way.
Is.
She has to laugh at our stupid jokes.
Yeah.
I don't know about your office, Ralph. You guys were listening to the show. What was it like in your office?
I don't know if you can hear it or not in that tape when you played it, but if you listen very carefully, after Kevin says that you hear a distinct thump, that's my head hitting the desk in the office where I just said, oh, no. And I just
could have gone comedy with it and Ben Spicoli. It's changed the whole thing around.
Not at all, Kevin. No,
yeah, but I did. I don't think you can hear the thump, but I slammed my head against the top of the desk. And, what in God's name is he thinking?
It's funny because that was the same scripter that was going through my mind.
Well, then you stop. Don't say anything.
I couldn't. It was
what
like
do you teach your daughters? Oh, when the red light comes, just run across the street. Run as fast as you can as the trucks go by.
You know how when you're just about to throw up, you can't help yourself. You go, I sure don't want to throw up. Don't want to throw up. It's involuntary. You cannot control it.
Usually you can run out of the room.
Yeah, I should have done that.
Yeah, if you had that,
I should have run out in the hallway and said, Spicoli!
Exactly. You just vomited Spicoli out into the bathroom.
Kevin, what response were you expecting from Sean Penn?
Dude, I'm telling you.
Did you think he was going to go,
no.
Bud, that's so funny.
I'm telling you, I knew it was a disaster before, during, and after I said it. I don't know. I don't know. I knew it was going to be bad. And yet, my mouth formed those words, and it came out anyway. So that happened.
You might need to step down. You might need to take a good, long, hard look at yourself. Like the congressman who's soliciting gay sex in the bathroom for the good of the party.
Hey, I just had a wide stance.
You might just have to step down. Just abdicate.
Maybe you guys should warn me the next guest that comes up that's super serious, and I'll just kind of pull back.
Sure, that'll
that's
happen.
That's true. You didn't know.
That'll work.
In your defense, you didn't know.
Yeah.
Surly Sean Penn talking about a death movie would have been a serious conversation. How could you have known?
Hey, Kevin!
Thank you.
Woo! For Kevin!
Thank you.
All right, Kev.
Woo!
All right.
Famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
King, I got a complaint I need to file with you and your girlfriend.
What?
With the power couple known as Daz Mean, or what's the new name?
Dave Mean.
Yeah. Yes. Look, David King of Mexico, as you know, is now in some sort of an actual relationship with Miss Double December 2006 Yasmin, okay?
Right.
We can barely get our heads around that, and we have described it, and I think accurately so, as 9/11 Part 2. But at least for 9/11, they stopped flying planes into the building. This continues on day after day after day. This is like every day you wake up, but it's a new name. I get a text message from Yasmin, who's watching the Seahawks game, and she's giving me a little, little support, a little love on Saturday during the game. And then she has to add, oh, and I've got a Mexican in my bed right now. I don't need, minute-by-minute accounts of that horrendous relationship.
Did you ask if it was Dave?
I assumed it was Dave.
Well, you shouldn't.
It's just painful to keep having to hear about it and to keep, in your face every day. It's like Osama bin Laden never leaves your TV. I mean, it's like you can't
worse
get away
than 9/11.
From it.
It's more like a viral outbreak of some kind.
Yeah.
Right? It's like AIDS. Pretty much. Their relationship is like AIDS. It's an ongoing tragedy.
But the problem, the real problem is that it gave Dave nothing but confidence in his, quote, no game game.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, exactly.
Which he already had plenty of, undeservedly so for some reason. But now he's actually got some anecdotal evidence to back it up.
He did. He believed in his no game game despite the fact that it had gotten him nothing for decades.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he basically was a failure with the ladies.
But now he can say it works.
It works, and it's proven.
It's kind of like a guy who's got a plan, quote unquote, to win the lottery and doesn't win for year after year after year. But eventually all he has to do is win it one time and you go, well, I can't really make fun of your plan anymore.
Right.
It worked, I guess.
Dave wrote a book.
You know that, right?
What?
The no game game?
What are you talking about?
He wrote a book.
In response to the game, he's got the no game game.
That's right. Teach guys how to do it.
Wow. You
know, how to score.
Do it by not doing it?
A lot of people see the lady that Dave ended up with, and they say, Dave, how can I be like you?
Well, we do have the audiobook, and I'd like to play a few clips,
okay,
if you don't mind. This is from the King of Mexico's book, The No Game Game. Here's the intro.
Hi, I'm Dave, the King of Mexico, and I'm here to make all your sexual dreams come true. I've gotten all the hoes all over LA. Women are like lambs, and I am a hungry wolf ready to attack. And I want to show you how you too can be a successful wolf eating lots of lambs. So anyways...
That's how it starts.
That grabs you. That's what you needed a preface really for, just to pull you right into
you
a story.
You can't not move on now.
No.
You got to know what happens in chapter one, and here's a little of that.
Chapter one, fingerless gloves. You should wear them because your fingertips barely have any feeling whatsoever. Your palms get cold. Wear the gloves. Anyways...
Wow.
Dave, much like his podcast.
Good step one. Step one works.
Did you have an editor or anyone? Anyone maybe to kind of help you, guide you through the process?
Usually when someone does a book on tape, they write a book first. They don't just start talking into a microphone, Dave.
Well, that was chapter one. Here's chapter two.
Chapter two. Treat her like a queen. If your bitch wants some Taco Bell and she says, hey, I want Taco Bell, you say, okay. But if she orders more than $10 worth of food, say, no, stupid, you pay. Anyways.
That's a good point.
Do you end every chapter with anyways?
Yep, just so we can move on to the next one.
Yeah. All right, so that's chapter two. Let's see. We got a little chapter three here.
Chapter three, the bunker. You should live in a hollowed out missile silo with no furniture or heating or air conditioner. That way, when a bitch comes home with you, she'll get so cold, she'll go bonkers. And then you'll have to warm her up with your penis.
Oh.
Anyways.
Dave, are you still living with your brother, the Prince of Mexico?
Yeah.
In the bunker?
In the bunker. Yeah. Rocks, dude.
What did he say the first day that he strolled out in the morning and you were there with Yaz? He just must have blown his mind.
He said, man, you guys were loud. Like, damn.
This is what I mean.
All right, so we've heard the intro, chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. I think we have one final chapter from the No Game Game from Dave the King of Mexico.
Chapter four, no stupid tattoos. If a girl has a tattoo, it's stupid. So don't even look. But if you have to look, put your hand on it. Sick, dumb. Anyways.
Well, it's hard to argue with success, I guess.
That's the feature.
A really short list of the all-time great K-Rock bands. Ladies and gentlemen, wouldn't you have to say that Pennywise would be on that list? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Fletcher, good morning. How are you?
Hello, sir.
Byron, how are you?
Good day, sir.
I understand Jim's resting his vocals in the next room because y'all are going to be singing in a little while.
No, he's here.
He's here.
He's in the room, too. Hey, Jim, welcome. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
20 years, guys. What's it like? How's it feel?
Good.
Surprising.
You're making us feel old with the 20-year thing. We started playing when we were 10.
We started when we were one, so yeah.
Yeah, you were one. Exactly right. Yeah. No, that's something to be proud of. I mean, let's face it, most bands don't make that. I mean, I'm sure that – I don't know if that was your plan when you got together, as you guys looked at each other and said, I'm deeply in love. This is going to be it for the rest of our lives. Huh, but but amazing how it worked out. And Southern California, is this the biggest spot on the globe for y'all? Because I know you play everywhere, but is this home base the biggest place for you?
Yeah, I mean, the South Bay and L.A. is our home, and we have all our friends and a lot of fans here. The whole surf skate scene is really popular here, and we're popular in that realm. So Australia does pretty well for us.
We actually have a couple gold records in Australia, but the population down there is, like, pretty small. So it almost doesn't count.
You know, it's interesting when you're talking about MySpace and talking about, you know, the way that is being used for promotion. You know, a lot of the bands that are on the Warped Tour this year, you know, groups like Against Me, I mean, that's a real factor in the rise of a group like that as they get on MySpace and a friend tells a friend and the next thing you know, they've built them, you know, quite an audience out there. I mean, it is a remarkable tool.
It's like that's the tool that all the A&R guys are using now. They just surf MySpace looking for bands. I mean, most bands will have a video up, songs, and it is a huge tool. And it's also, I mean, great for kids that can't get record deals. You know, they get on there, they put their stuff up, and they start generating a fan base. And before you know it, they're playing shows, and they don't even have a record out. And that's yeah. that's a really cool thing. And the music industry's evolving, and MySpace is a huge tool.
You know, speaking of huge tools, Governor Spitzer, you saw in the news a lot last week, that strumpet, his little hooker friend, mm-hmm. you know, she's got music up. She's selling it. I mean, she sold like 2 million singles or something like that.
That's
just
great.
Based on the notoriety from having sex with the governor.
I didn't know that.
I guess it was all part of the plan.
It's a new way to get your name out there.
Wow.
Yeah. Forget about sponsors. Just you know, have sex for money.
And right, whatever it takes, right? Pennywise is in the studio with us here on the World Famous K-Rock this morning. What do you want to play first, guys?
This one's called Western World.
Love it. Can't live without it. K-Rock.
Live. Didn't sound so crappy.
No.
That was nice.
What else you got, guys?
We're going to play a little
Brohim.
Yeah.
For all the fans out there and all the friends.
Jason.
Never ending. Life a minute was only beginning. Chasing Matthew Fisher. present, past, and beyond. Especially those who weren't with
killer
us too
baseline,
long.
Randy.
Life is some most precious thing you can lose.
Oh, really? That's you, guy.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, the fall was never ending. Life a minute was only the beginning.
Thank you, LA.
That was my bit.
Miss Cleo is in the studio with us, along with Psycho Mike.
Good morning.
And Miss Cleo is,
hi,
our,
Cleo.
Is our new phone screener, and she has never seen a porn.
Nope. That's amazing.
Well, right?
Until this weekend.
Until this weekend. So this weekend we got an email saying, hey, if you want to come down to the set of, go ahead and feel free to come on down. And so we decided Psycho Mike was the person to take Miss Cleo to her first porn, and she actually went to a live porn set.
Mm-hmm. How weird for your first ever porno to be live and in person 1 foot from you.
With
rather
Mike.
Than on a... On a
yeah,
video
yeah.
With Mike.
Let's
yeah.
not leave that
now,
out.
Doesn't make it
how,
better, does it?
How, by the way, Miss Cleo, there is a photo of her up at KRock.com in the Kevin Bean intern section. She, I believe, does not represent as well in that photograph as she does in person.
She's well,
a very,
thank you, Bean.
Very, very beautiful woman. But how old are you, Cleo?
I am 22, almost 23.
What's the deal with having never even accidentally come across some sort of porn online or on TV?
I never had a need for it. I never sat down and said, all right, I'm going to pop in a porn today.
Just never not, were curious?
Well, not the DVD, but it seems like online it's pretty impossible to avoid.
Yeah, but online you have to really go searching for it.
No, like, you don't.
Not if Kevin emails you.
Not if you got it set up right.
How dare you? I'm going to start emailing you now. That's all.
But I mean, was there some particular reason that you didn't want, like, were you actively not seeing them? Because you have to have been at some point at a party or somewhere where somebody had porn or... Even here, where, you know, Kevin or Mike or somebody's watching something on their screen, I mean, you have to actively kind of avoid seeing it.
No, I mean, it wasn't something I actively didn't go for. It just never, I mean, like, you know, on Cinemax late at night, I, like, browsed through it, but I never stopped and watched it. It was never something I searched for.
All right, so you're searching. It's not like...
Thanks, Bean.
But it's not like you, it's a religious thing or anything like that. You didn't?
No, I just never had the need for it.
So, Psycho Mike, where did you take her?
We
went
to the valley, deep in the valley, to
Not
watch
lost.
The filming of Not the Brady's Part 2.
Okay. All right.
And we walk in, and we have to sign all these waivers and give, like, two forms of ID. And I had told Sarah, I said, I hope you never wanted to run for public office. Because that just went right out the door.
This will ruin it right now.
Yeah. And they shuttle us right into the filming of a scene. And we're in the back of a set watching this girl...
Right.
Have her way with herself.
Right.
And I turn on the mic and I look over at Sarah, who's just mystified. And this is what happens.
Can you believe you're watching what you're watching? How does she do that? She's going forever. I have a b***er. Thanks for sharing that information, Mike. There's a bathroom right around the corner. Peace.
You left?
Yeah, I was just really excited.
All right,
yeah.
Like an industrial size.
All right, I think we know.
You know, sensitive
now,
skin.
Your problem, Miss Cleo, was that it seemed like it was taking her too long. Is that what you were saying? Like, are you faster? Is that the problem?
No. Well, what I found really interesting was, so they're doing their thing, and the director's just there in her face, and he was like, all right, honey, I need you to, and she would just stop. And then he'd be like, all right, action, and just go right back into it, as if nothing happened.
Right.
Just bam. So that.
You're not saying they fake it, I hope.
They're acting?
You're not saying that.
No, she... Well, if she was faking it, she was really good at it.
They are.
These are pros.
As it turns out.
Yeah,
it turns out.
Yeah. Yeah. The girl who was in that scene... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the girl. Was she way hot, Mike?
She was. She was actually really pretty. Her name is Tegan Presley.
And super tiny.
Yeah. Little girl. And we needed to talk to her after she got done filming.
Actually, I was her, but right when I got in the business. I had never even seen a movie. I had never masturbated. I had just started doing things. So it was like an eye-opening thing. I jumped into the deep end of the pool.
You sure did.
Yes. And I swam. Thank
and you
gosh.
Let many men jump into your deep end of the pool.
Yes, I did.
How do you do it?
She's just like Sarah. Yeah, at this point, she had never seen a porno movie.
Except for Sarah's not in a porn, Miss Cleo, by the way.
Well, how do you know that she's not going to turn out like Tegan Presley?
Good point.
How does someone who's never done any of those things end up going into porn?
That's a great question.
Because Mike was like, you know, she's kind of naive. What do you think? And she just laid that out.
Oh, how do you make that choice?
I don't know.
I'm saying that maybe Sarah's oppressive, narrow-minded upbringing will lead her right into, you know what I'm saying?
The next starring feature.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
So we're waiting for the next scene to be filmed. There's a long time, like any movie, there's a long time between scenes, and they got to set up this set and everything. And I'm listening, eavesdropping to the production team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about a movie they recently got done making that they had some problems with.
Right.
Listen to this.
I overheard you talking about a movie you recently produced.
Yes, Strollin' in the Colon.
You said that was a tough one to make.
It was, but we had fun.
No. Now, what was so difficult about Strollin' in the Colon?
Well, what do you think? What does it sound like?
Sanitation problems?
Just a few, but we got through them. It ended up being a very successful shoot.
And when can the K-Rock audience expect Strollin' in the Colon to hit theaters?
It's available now on DVD at your local video store.
Sick.
Strolling.
I'm not going to rip that one. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Wow, is that a bizarre world?
Yeah, yeah. So one of the other actresses is named Alana Evans. She was a very nice young lady, and she came up to talk to Sarah. She took a liking to Sarah.
Is that right?
Yeah. And so we wanted to discuss some things with her, and as we were talking to her, like I said, she seemed to really want to focus in on Sarah in certain parts of her body.
You mean
she
Miss
so
Cleo?
Yeah.
Can we call her Miss Cleo?
Oh, sorry,
do you mind?
Miss Cleo.
That's the name we're going with.
Sorry.
I love the ladies.
What do you think of Sarah's physics-defying boobs?
I can't even look at her face. I am drawn straight to cleavage, just wanting to perk. Excuse me, I'm going to peek myself. Very nice. Yeah, I'm a girl. I can do that.
How do you feel about a porn star looking through your top and touching your boobs?
I think I'm in the wrong profession.
Yes.
Right, so you're starting to turn already.
I think so.
I like it.
Okay, and for the record, fully covered top. Like, right. No cleavage showing whatsoever
well,
that day.
First of all, bad choice. Second of all, she just reached up and started helping herself.
Yeah, full on peek that. Down the shirt.
It was awesome.
It's good to be
I'm
a woman.
I'm so grateful to be listening this morning now that I know that's acceptable.
Nope, not acceptable
sorry,
to you,
not
my friend.
To you.
Well, you're in Seattle, Bean.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's a lot of downtime in between the next scene, and we're really excited to see actual, like, two-person scene, you know, not just a solo scene. And while we're waiting, I see the script. Some of the actresses were practicing the script,
yes.
And they kind of left it sitting there. And I said, I got to get Sarah to read some of the monologues.
Excellent.
You know, for us in the K-Rock audience. So I'm flipping through the script, and I find the most just horribly profane part. And this is Sarah for your consideration.
Taking each other's clothes off as you suck my tender. Mike, I'm not going to read this.
No, just keep going, honestly. You got to break through this barrier of yours somehow.
Taking each other's clothes off as you suck my tender. I can't as you my tiny and open my pink before sticking inside, much like a plunger into a toilet.
Oh. You're doing great.
Very nice.
Thanks, come on. Wow. Sarah.
That's a nice performance.
That is not right, sexy. I'm sorry.
Not at all. I was like, this is what they say on porn?
Did they put you in the scene then?
No.
No? Nah, that's too bad.
Miss Cleo turned a shade of red I've never really seen.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. I like that.
And it's hard for me to turn red.
Yeah, that's true.
Miss Cleo, just so that's you know, said. None of us have ever seen those scenes with the dialogue. That's called fast forward on your remote.
Yeah.
They don't have to put a lot of time into that. Yeah.
So finally comes time to film that scene? Sex scene, and yeah. We're watching, and even I, you know, Sarah's obviously like mystified and totally.
Or Miss Cleo.
Miss Cleo's totally bewildered by this.
Your God.
Well, you got to understand, I spent, you know, 7 hours with her calling her Sarah. I apologize. Okay. Miss Cleo's, she's obviously just totally bewildered by what's going on. And I'm actually impressed. This is a guy, Evan Stone, who I've been watching his work for years.
Well, you're impressed with the guy?
Well, I'm just saying.
Right?
Well, but I'm saying, was the girl hot?
I'm just saying, Evan Stone.
What?
Mike was not focused on the girl whatsoever.
Why do you do that?
He was an athlete.
Okay.
A champion.
So what?
An elite performer. Well, all right, take a listen.
Evan's destroying that girl.
I don't know how she can take that.
He's got huge balls.
What? I've never seen anything like it.
He's got really robust balls.
Mike, why are you looking at his balls?
Shh, never mind that.
What the hell?
Yeah, that disturbed me a little. And then Mike kind of ran off, so I don't really
it
know.
Really, that really summarizes Mike.
Yeah.
It really does. He.
What are you saying?
In the gym, anywhere if there's a hot chick and a hot dude, he's all over the dude.
I'm saying I want to give a little tip of the cap to a guy who was doing his job
okay,
well.
Okay, but what about the chick? I appreciate that. What about the girl?
You would think Mike would feel like less of a man, but no, he was just enamored.
I was proud of him.
Did you ask him out?
No. But I did throw him a little sweat towel. You know, I got him a bottle of water.
Good for you, buddy.
You go. So we finished up filming and checking out the porn set, and we were walking out to our cars, and I wanted to see how Sarah felt after how Miss Cleo felt after the entire ordeal.
We've spent a couple hours on a porn set. We've watched how they do things. How do you feel, Sarah?
Well, it's definitely mechanical. It's a lot different than what I thought it would be.
Now that you've been on the set, are you more open to checking out pornographic films?
Well, Hustler said they were going to send me some stuff, so I might just take a look.
All right. Lube up and rock and roll.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, good. How was your first experience?
It was interesting.
Is that good?
Interesting, good.
Okay.
It was an eye-opener. That is for sure.
All right. So you're going to go into porn?
I don't know about all of that.
This is the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show.
You know, we haven't seen a lot of Mayor V. Ragosa since the marriage scandal, the marriage and girlfriend scandal broke, but every once in a while he does poke his head up and talk about something that's important to him, and right now it's water conservation. I guess Southern California is in very, very bad shape with the water right now. Hasn't been much rain in the last few years, so he's introducing the Drought Busters program. What's this all about? How's this going to work?
Six full-time customer service employees employed by the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power will travel the city in Toyota Priuses.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to drive around and watch for people who are wasting water. So, for example, if you're cleaning off your sidewalk with water, they'll pull over and write you a ticket. Now, the ticket has no financial. You don't have to pay anything or do anything.
Yeah, they have no enforcement power.
It's just a, hey, how about using less water ticket? And supposedly that's going to help.
Do they wrestle you to the ground and beat on you or anything like that? Or they just say, hey, stop it over there?
They embarrass you.
They don't wait till someone's there to see it. They just ask.
Don't you know we have a drought? There's a problem.
Is that what, how
wasting
they?
Wasting water.
So they use strong language then?
Yes.
That's the Drought Busters program that Mayor V. Ragosa was talking about.
Who drives an enormous SUV, I might point out.
Sure.
Well, we've got him on the line. Producer Lightning lined up, the mayor of the great city of Los Angeles, Mayor... What is that? What are you driving right now, Mayor V. Ragosa?
Hey, what do you think I'm driving? Driving a Prius.
Really?
That doesn't sound like a Prius.
No, it does not.
You'd be surprised how fast these things go, man. Jeff, you're starting up Yale, man. Anything goes fast.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, you know... What was that?
There's a gun, stupid. What do you think it is?
Sorry.
Huh?
But why are you driving down the road shooting at things? What's that all about?
To bust some droughts, man.
Oh, you're a drought buster?
That's right. I'm proactive as the mayor. You know what I'm saying? I'm not some kind of guy who just sits back in some office, man. I get my hands dirty. You know what I'm saying? I'm proactive.
You know, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind my questioning this, I heard you at a press conference yesterday. You sounded like you spoke English about as well as I do.
Listen to me.
I don't recognize your voice now.
I'm just being myself right now.
Okay.
You know, I'm being my natural self, okay?
Okay.
You know, when I get in front of the microphones, okay? Mm-hmm. When I get in front of the photographer,
right?
You know, I got to pretend to be some weirdo bitch.
To please
the masses.
I see.
But I'm a man who came up from nothing, okay? Uh-huh. I beat myself up by my bootstraps to be where I'm at today. I'm the mayor!
Right, okay. Less shooting and more listening, Mayor. Why are you so out of breath? How exhausting is it to drive a car?
Hey, when you're going 114 miles an hour down a city street, it's exhausting. You know
okay.
Right?
All right, so let me recap here. So you're one of the drought busters. So there's six full-time customer service employees that are driving all over, and they're looking for people who are using the hose to clean off the sidewalks, that are watering their lawns in the middle of the afternoon. You're trying to get people to keep their gutters clear, make sure their leaks are fixed, and all this information you think is going to help deal with the water shortage.
That's right, okay? We got a serious problem in the city when it comes to water, okay? We don't have enough power for the entire city, okay?
Right.
So people need to mind the P's and Q's and take care and be responsible.
Now, is it true that one of the things that you're writing tickets for are restaurants that serve water to customers unless it's specifically requested?
You got to ask us. They give us the water, okay? They can't just give it to you, okay? You got to ask.
Okay.
In fact... You know what I say? I'm driving around the city in my Prius. Okay? I'm looking for people I need to take care of.
It really doesn't sound like a Prius. I thought the Prius was pretty quiet.
Are you a specialist, huh? Are you a team of driving? You don't know nothing.
No, not really.
Okay? But they're quiet, though. Those are quiet cars. That sounds like a race car that you're in.
I added an exhaust system, okay? Put some glass pack, okay? Edelbrock intake, okay? Board and stroke. You'll be surprised what you can do, okay?
Okay.
I took it down the Chewy's Chop Shop. They know what to do.
Listen, all right. Yes.
First things first.
Okay, Mayor.
I know that entertainment industry and broadcasting is the best way to get in touch with the people.
Okay.
So I made a song for other radio stations.
Oh, okay.
Especially yours. I even sent a copy over to Lightning. I think you got a copy
That's
of it right
That's what I
now.
Have here. You okay. want me to play it now?
Play.
Okay.
If your faucet's on, let you brush your teeth. Who you gonna call? Drown Busters! If the sun put off in your neighborhood, who you gonna call? Drown Busters!
Yeah, okay. Wow.
Think I got my message across?
That's a hell of a theme right
sure
there.
Is.
You better believe it. Listen to me. I'm trying to let everybody know. If you don't go green, you're black and blue.
Okay, but...
Okay?
Mr. Mayor,
Oh, wait. Hey, hold on. Hold on. Somebody, this guy's got a sprinkler, so hold on, hold
oh,
on.
Oh, no.
Whoa. All right, shut that. You like that shirt? Okay. Yeah.
Did you just beat someone up? Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
I thought you were just handing out tickets.
No, man.
That's what
the
story said.
Message. You got to send a message, okay?
Well, the story said you just write a ticket. There's
yeah,
no fine.
Yeah, okay. I got to do what I got to do in the press.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying behind the scenes? You got to handle your business, okay? If anything, I know how to handle it.
Now, who are you shooting at?
Okay. What?
Where was, who was that?
Who are you shooting at? A pelican.
Yeah,
what?
Shut up.
Shooting a pelican.
They don't fly.
So you hate them?
Yeah. Oh, wait a second.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. This guy's trying to put out a fire. His house is on fire. He's trying to put it out with a hose.
Well, that what? Should be, of course. That should be
well,
fine.
Hold on. Well, hold on a second. Let him put the fire out.
Machine gun fire?
Okay.
I, what, Mr. Mayor, what do you want him to do when his house is on fire? Of course he's going to use water to try to put it out.
You better start blowing.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he okay?
No, he's dead.
You killed him.
What, too much?
Well, maybe, yeah.
If your faucet's on, when you brush your teeth, who you gonna call? Drown Busters! If the sun put off in your neighborhood, who you gonna call? Drown Busters!
Yeah, okay.
I love fake boobs. Oftentimes you find them on strippers.
Mm-hmm.
Megan Fox, who we have, I apologize to the Carrick listeners, have not talked about very much this week, but Megan Fox did an interview with GQ Magazine on newsstands today where she talked about how she became obsessed with a girl who was working at the body shop when Megan Fox first moved to LA about 4 years ago. A Russian stripper who went by the name Nikita. Here's what she says in the interview. Nikita would do these beautiful slow dances to Aerosmith ballads. The actress also said that she would bring the Russian stripper gifts and try to inspire her to quit her line of work. And that's kind of what got us thinking about what it must be like for a stripper with all the various things that are coming at you every night.
Oh,
and
hey,
I don't mean that the way it sounds.
Come on.
But, Ralph, you've got a little bit more experience in the strip clubs than I do. I mean, what, this has got to be pretty common where the customer falls in love with the dancer and thinks that there's a relationship there and does everything they can to make it work, right?
Yeah, it's just a perfect storm for strippers usually because you have to think about the fact that there's a certain percentage of guys go to strip clubs just for the fun of it. And then there's another hardcore audience there that is going to strip clubs because that is their only access to attractive women in various states of undress.
Wow.
And so they get there and then they fixate because these girls, because of the nature of their job, have to be nice and have to be friendly and have to act interested in what they have to say. And you get a lot of guys who get obsessed and fall in love with these strippers. I mean, it's not an uncommon phenomenon. And then so they want to date them and they want relationships with them and they start showing up and bringing gifts and buying cars. I mean, I've dated a few strippers and you would be amazed at the stories I've heard of things that they were given in
really?
Terms of trying to buy their affections. In essence, one guy gave a girl I knew a car.
Wow.
Just brought in the keys and said, here, this is for you. I heard you had trouble with your car and you were having a hard time getting to work and blah, blah, blah. So I thought you could use a new one and just handed over the keys.
And what did she do? What was her reaction to that?
Thank
did
you.
Did she take it?
Thank you.
Really?
Yeah.
She didn't go out with him, though.
Nope.
Now, 99%, maybe higher, of these girls would never give this particular guy or girl the time of day, but that's their job. Just like the waitress at the Denny's, her job is to be pleasant to you, and whether she likes you or not, it's just they're in a service industry, right?
And their service is fantasy. Their job is to create a fantasy world where you get to pretend you're attractive to really hot girls, and they want to dance on top of you and grind their bodies against you.
That's right. What they're selling. They have to make you believe that that is happening. And then in exchange for that, you open your wallet and empty it onto the floor and they pick everything up.
I know it's unlikely that there are strippers up.
They may be still up.
Yeah, just getting possible. Back from IHOP. They had a long shift. They had to fill up.
That's
had
true.
A
couple rails, you know, in the bathroom at Denny's there on Sunset. They're
the strip
good
club
to go.
DJ had a fanny pack full of blow.
Exactly. Yeah, they're finding a way to wind down. They're listening to our show trying to fall asleep.
Usually that's good advice,
good
too. All right, so we're looking for strippers now. That's fine. We want to hear the stories of the people who give you stuff and try to talk you into going out with them. Or, as in the case of this Megan Fox story, by the way, try to save you. Try to convince you that stripping is not the thing you ought to be doing, and they try to talk you out of it. I guess they become obsessed with you to the point where they think they have a personal relationship with you, and they think that you care. You know, they care that what you think. I guess is what happens, right?
Yeah. And it's so funny, the guys who try to date strippers, famously, are super jealous about them too. And the minute they start dating them, they want them to quit their job and stop being strippers and just sit at home and polish his jet ski or whatever he's got going on.
Former strippers are fine too. We want to hear from you if you've got any kind of stripper experience and what it was like for you and how it relates to this Megan Fox story of desperately trying to woo Nikita and not being successful, it sounds like, for more than a couple of weeks, and then it just exploded, it sounds like. Hey, Rose, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You are an ex-stripper, right?
I am indeed.
Why did you stop?
Why did I quit? It was such a skeevy job. Like, I was not working in one of these, like, lovely, like, high-class places. I don't want to say the name of the place because I'm talking bad about it right now and so on. But, I mean, it was just a dump.
Jumbo's Clown Room?
I can't say it.
Okay. Enough said on that. Now, if you had been hotter, would you have been able to work at one of the better places?
I was hot, I couldn't deal with the better places. All the girls were jealous of me.
Yeah,
I got you. All right. How common is this story that Megan Fox tells in the new GQ issue of people who want to date you and bring you gifts or try to constantly talk you out of stripping? Tell us about your experience with that.
Well, I got a lot of people just trying to talk me out of it, especially girls who came on dates with their boys. Who takes their girlfriend to a strip joint anyway?
I do.
But, there you go. Yeah.
Me too.
But it's... A lot of girls were trying to talk me out of it and saying, like, this is not what you have to do. I have this job and that job. And my answer is, great, well, I'm making more money than you are.
That's the thing. The cash is so good, it's hard to turn down, isn't it?
It is. But the best present I ever got was one of my regulars came in one day with a diamond ring, this huge, enormous diamond ring. I don't know how many carats it was, but he asked me to marry him.
Wow.
No kidding.
And you had never been out on a date or anything with him.
No, I mean, I guess it's this thing that you were just talking about where he thinks that we're in a relationship and he thinks that it's going somewhere.
Right.
But I was going to quit in 2 weeks anyway because I was just sick of the place.
Yeah.
So you took the ring and changed your name and moved to another city?
No, not exactly, but I take the ring. But I told him, look, Rick, I can't marry you, but if you give me this ring anyway, I will quit in 2 weeks.
Oh, I see.
And so I took the ring and I quit in 2 weeks because I was going to anyway. And I just got a great diamond ring out of it.
And Rick got zip.
Well, of course Rick got zip.
Yeah.
Rick wasn't my boyfriend.
That's the way it works.
Wow. There you go. That's the lesson learned right there. Okay. Thank you, Rose. Appreciate the call. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Jesse in L.A. Jesse, it wasn't you. It was your ex-wife that was stripping. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. When she was going to college to become a mortician, she was a stripper in Dallas.
That's such a weird mix.
some guy asked her, what would make you happy? She said $10,000. The guy wrote her a check.
Oh, wow.
Was it good?
Yeah, I got bought furniture.
Unreal. No kidding. So she took the $10,000 check, and there was nothing given in return?
Nothing given in return.
As far as you know.
I thought there would have been, but I checked around and nobody seems to know anything else.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Nice.
Hey, thanks for the call. By the way, as Jesse's telling that story, I'm reminded of something that we haven't brought up at all this week. Let's talk about a stripper who hit the big time. who was in the right place at the right time. Do you guys remember a young lady named Anna Nicole Smith?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
That's how she met Howard Marshall, right?
Yep, that's how she met Howard Marshall. There's a girl who was not at all attractive. Remember, this was pre-boobs. And she's stripping, and a guy worth like $90 million comes in and takes to her and ends up marrying her.
I mean,
that's a stripper story that worked out pretty well for her, I guess.
I don't think you can say Anna Nicole Smith was not at all attractive. I thought she
didn't look anything when she started stripping and started hanging out with him. You see the photos from that period. She didn't look anywhere near what she ended up looking like when she started posing for Playboy.
I'm not sure that turned out well because she's dead and she never got the money.
She never got the money, yeah. Well, in Bean's world, that's a win.
No, but I'm saying
anything ends in tragedy is usually Bean's favorite thing.
I've
got a painting of her dying in the hotel room.
But tell me the truth. While he was alive, she was living way high on the hog for a guy who was 90. She wasn't having sex with him or anything like that. She was just spending all of his money, and that happened because she was a stripper. I'm saying for a while there, it was going pretty good for her.
And she didn't even have to get high on his hog, so it all worked out.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. We weren't looking for male strippers, but Yuri called anyway.
And
apparently it happens in both directions. Hi, Yuri. Thanks for holding on. You're on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Good morning.
What's the deal?
I ran out of college, moved to Vegas to make a little bit of money, was selling real estate, started doing a little bit of dancing, and this older lady starts coming in there on a regular basis and starts kind of favoring me, and eventually we get to talking, and I basically said I really don't have a car. I did, but it was kind of a beater.
Mm-hmm.
And we started, she started saying, hey, maybe I can help you out with something. And one thing led to another and ended up with a car.
You got a car out of an old car.
She brought you a car. What kind of car?
Well, that's the funny part. Originally, I just said I needed something to get around town. So we went to like a Honda dealer together and looked around and ended up getting a Porsche.
Oh.
Ended up getting a Boxster. And it was very nice, I must admit.
But you had to give it up to this old biddy, though, right?
Not that many times.
Yeah. I'm opening hailing frequencies. Help me. I need your assistance.
Roland?
Hey, Roland.
This is Captain James T. Roland of the Starship Basement.
Roland, what are you doing?
Red alert.
What's wrong?
Red alert.
What? Roland, why do you have your own Star Trek sound effects CD?
I'm currently sitting in my exact replica of the Shuttlecraft Galileo in my basement.
Okay.
So I need your assistance. I rarely ask anything of you, and now
except
I need your assistance.
Every time you call.
But now I need something, and it's very important.
Okay, what's going on?
I've just found out that Star Trek The Experience at the Hilton in Las Vegas is closing.
Yeah. Thank God. It's about time.
Ah! After 11 years, they're going to close it on September 1st. This cannot happen.
But haven't you had enough opportunity in 11 years to go see that BS?
I go twice a month.
Twice a month?
Yeah. I've gone twice a month for 11 years. I was there for the opening of the Klingon Encounter ride. I was there for the Borg Invasion 4D. I was there for the Secrets Unveiled backstage tour in 2005. And I've gone twice a month ever since.
Wow. So you're done with it.
They can't close it. It's the closest replica to the Bridge of the Enterprise near my home.
Well, I don't know a lot about this story, but I think they already made the decision, didn't they?
But they can unmake it just as quickly as they made it.
But
I need your help. We need to go to Vegas. We need to strap photon torpedoes to our chest and threaten to detonate them unless they change their minds.
I'm not sure that's the route we want to go.
You don't want
to. No, Roland. You don't want to threaten to blow up a building. No. Listen, where's the Star Trek Experience? It's at the Hilton or something?
Las Vegas Hilton in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay. Now, aren't they making the decision to close it because not enough people go anymore? It's the time has passed.
No, the time is now. First of all, it has not passed. And they're closing it because I believe the people who run the Hilton are under the influence of the Borg. Or the Romulans. They want to close the Starfleet facility there.
Don't you think, though, that we're living in an age where people are interested in the Batman and they're interested in the Iron Man and the Transformers? They've kind of moved on past the 1960s Star Trek a little bit.
First of all, can't we all get along? Can't we live in a world where all of those things are very important to all of us? And secondly, they're making a new Star Trek movie. J.J. Abrams is recreating the original franchise.
That's true.
So it's going to be more popular than ever. Keep the doors open. Keep the doors open.
It's going to be a buffet September 2nd. Sorry, Roland.
I had plans to get married there.
To who?
You go to Vegas, get married on the Bridge of the Enterprise. They let you do that there.
Right, but to who?
Somebody.
You know, they can't guarantee to keep it open for the rest of your life in case you happen to get married, Roland.
I'm going to get married.
To who?
Somebody.
When?
Someday.
How do you know that somebody will have you?
Just the odds have to be in my favor. Every day there are new women being born.
Right.
And so eventually, sometime, someplace, I'm going to run across one of them.
Right, but you're sitting in your parents' basement in a replica of the bridge of the Starship Enterprise.
First of all, it's a replica of the shuttlecraft Galileo 7.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
I couldn't fit the Enterprise Bridge in my basement, so I had to go with the shuttlecraft.
But I think Bean's point is, how many women are you going to meet there?
All right. Maybe I could expand my social circles.
A little.
That's what we're suggesting.
But when
That's
I
all.
Do, I need to get married in Vegas.
All right. Roland, I think I appreciate your passion, but the call has come too late. The decision has been made. It is going to close in 2 weeks. I'm sorry.
Oh, poor guy. Roland.
Roland, it's okay. What's happening?
Con!
He's yelling con.
Oh, this is bad.
We're trying to get Omar to turn down the sound effect.
No, it sounds good.